Hello and welcome to the IMI's Talking Points podcast. It's great to have you with us. I'm James Skoltok, the IMI's Motorpro magazine editor. Joining me today, we have Simon King, interim CEO at Autotech Group. And we have a lot to get through, including the challenges facing the automotive industry, how Autotech is facing them head on, why perceptions of the sector need to change, and what the future holds. So, with so much to talk about, let's get going. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the industry really, isn't there? So I wondered what kind of challenges you were seeing and what sort of your view of the industry at the moment is and what it's what's going on, what you're seeing.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right, James, that there's plenty of challenges that the industry is facing at the moment. I think the main one, and it's the one that people will recognise, is the skill shortage.
Mm.
It's an ongoing challenge for the industry. You know, which is driven by the fact that we're not working within a stagnant sector with vehicles that are continuously evolving.
Mm.
I think, you know, despite the government's recent U-turn on its climate commitments, the industry is moving forward with its plans to meet net zero and the rollout of electric vehicles.
Mm.
The shift towards alternative technology, towards EV, hydrogen fuel cell and advanced driver assistance systems, ADAS, is undoubtedly creating new opportunity and challenges for plenty of people in the industry. For those involved in repairing and maintaining these vehicles, the uncertainties surrounding what technology will be coming down the line next, and frankly, a fear of the unknown is just amplifying the skills deficit.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess from Autotech Group's perspective anyway, you Autotech Group is an umbrella for a lot of different companies, isn't it? So how does each of Autotech Group's components kind of rise to these challenges that the industry is facing?
Well, Autotech was originally formed around, you know, the need of supporting a labour shortage and supporting the aftermarket with skilled MOT testers and technicians to help with resource gaps throughout the industry. And in its truest form, it was there to cover holiday and sickness. But yeah, Now we're seeing that this network cover is for longer length contracts, and aftermarket businesses simply just cannot find the right person with the right skills.
Mm.
This is driven largely by the fact that as people have left at the top of the industry, there's not enough talent coming in at the bottom. And it's one of the reasons why we have one of those other divisions you mentioned, Autotech Academy, which is a paid internship initiative where our newly qualified automotive students are vetted and interviewed by our team. We give them a toolbox, which is one of the biggest expenses to coming out of education and starting in the automotive industry as a technician. You know, we give them a uniform and they're placed with an employer for 6 to 12 months. And it's the ultimate try before you buy solution for the employer, and an opportunity for them to grow their own talent. You know, it's the ultimate place to get that sort of brand loyalty to where their internship is. And since its launch, the Academy has placed over 200 interns with a 95% success rate in transitioning them to permanent employment at the end of the internship.
Oh, wow. That's really high.
Yeah, it's something we're very proud of. The other, you know, big division of ours, our training division, originally launched to upskill our own network of contractors.
Mm.
And it quickly grew to the business it is today in its own right. You know, I think when we were looking further down the line and we were saying, well, where's the next big skill gap going to come from? And we highlighted that EV, along with, you know, the likes of the IMI have been talking about it for a long time, that we needed to upskill our own contractors to help with the demands of the industry and the aftermarket. So, you know, our trainers, they're out on the road, and I suppose COVID sort of helped shape the delivery of training, where actually we've seen the whole landscape change, where you go to the customer, as long as they've got the necessary facilities, and deliver the training. You get much more engagement, you get better numbers of people attending the training, and they're much more confident in their sort of their home team dressing room. And from MOT management to ADAS, electric and hybrid. And it's just not the aftermarket either we serve. Mm. We're receiving training requests, particularly for EV, from local authorities, fleet companies, emergency services. Mm. And we've even been out in Germany this week training the US Air Force. So it's very, very diverse, but this EV revolution is not just about getting a new EV vehicle. It's all about these support services and people who come into contact with vehicles that could be EV as well. That's just making sure that everybody's safe. Everybody's recognizing that the need, training is imperative. And if we're going to transition to these new vehicles, then they have to adopt it.
Yeah. And I guess, the past week or so, we've heard from the current government, at least, about shifting goalposts a little bit. But I guess from your perspective, no matter what the government says about 2030 or 2035, the impetus to make sure that people are upskilled so they can work on EVs never really changes, does it?
No. Do you know, I think there's some advantages and disadvantages to what the Prime Minister announced, that the ICEBAN, would be moved back by those 5 years. He made the comment that as a country, we need to strengthen the automotive industry. And for us, this has always been a key driver behind everything that we do. It's imperative that we continue pushing forward with plans to upskill technicians and educate the wider public on alternatively fueled vehicles. This will not only lead to a stronger automotive sector, but ensure that everyone has the right knowledge to make the transition safely and successfully.
Hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned the internships that you facilitate. I guess that's another aspect of the challenges, isn't it? It's upskilling people so they can work on the latest technologies, but also bringing through new talent. So there's a continuous pipeline of people that can service the vehicles, for example, and making sure that we have, there's X amount of positions that are still empty, and we need to keep feeding talent into the industry, don't we? And the auto tech internships are part of that solution, I guess.
Absolutely. They're currently being educated on ICE vehicles. It's amazing how many colleges don't yet have the facility to train on EV, and when that will be a permanent part of the syllabus as well for their own learning. They're learning on ICE vehicles, and nearly straight away as they start their internship, they're being exposed to hybrid and EV vehicles. And that's coming straight out of doing up-to-date learning, you'd expect that's what they're prepared to do. But it's something the whole industry has got to get its head around, and we have to start with the education of the new talent coming in. And at the same time dealing with the technicians and all of the other people in the automotive industry, down to call handlers who need to advise consumers on decisions that they're making, with ownership or when considering to buy a new car.
Yeah. And from your experience then, is there from younger generations, but it's not necessarily just younger generations, it could also be career changes, people as well who are slightly older, is there an enthusiasm about joining automotive?
Well, I think as a young person, that the message is starting to get through that this isn't the oily, dirty garage that people, would perhaps have described it 5-10 years ago. That these garages are clean, very well equipped, modern places to work, and that the technicians are now use technology to support the decision making when fixing a vehicle, and it's not all just reliant on the experience they have and the diagnosis that they have found out or the customer has given them.
Yeah, Yeah, because the IMI, with its There's More to Motor campaign, has put perceptions of the industry kind of front and centre and said, we need to do more. From the outside, automotive, rightly or wrongly, isn't necessarily perceived as being an industry that is attractive compared to whatever the alternatives may be. But from my perspective, and hopefully you agree, automotive is currently constantly changing, constantly evolving, and as always kind of at the forefront of technological change, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, you encapsulated that. It is always changing. You know, some people will say it's about EV, but you'll go to a motor manufacturer and they'll say, well, it's about, you know, finding the next alternative fuel now, be it hydrogen or something else. Yeah. You know, changing the perception of the industry is something that we strongly believe in. And it's why we work so hard with many organisations like the IMI and the School of Thought. You know, it's a sector where you get hooked and there's something very, very special about automotive. And when, you know, when people join, they get it in their blood. And you know, I think it's a real consideration for the youth of today.
Yeah. In that case, I'm going to put you on the spot. So what hooked you about automotive to bring you in and keep you in automotive as well?
Ah, well, okay. So I came into automotive in 2003 when I joined QuickFit. And I've always been in retail and working very closely with people. And I think, although it was a risk changing sectors from being involved with supermarkets and Whitbread, in terms of you know, brewery and product and things like that, and coming into automotive and selling service, but it's, you know, it's all about the people, and the people are just the greatest people that I've ever worked with in automotive. Yeah. And you know, 16 years at QuickFit, and now working for the Autotech Group, that hasn't changed. You know, there's just so many brilliant people who've got so much to offer. There are so many jobs within the sector, you know, not just technician or MOT tester or salesman. There's nothing you can't do. It's taken me to every corner of the world in my previous role, and continues to you know, ensure that I get up bright as a button in the morning, and you know, happy to come to work and make a difference. And yeah, some of the things that we do, you know, we've all got to run a business and make a profit for our shareholders. But at the same time, seeing young people, you know, get the job of their dreams and helping them along that path, or upskill somebody who was scared of technology and then thought, oh, well, you know, I can do this. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing.
Yeah. That's quite the shift, though, isn't it? From one industry to another industry. How did you find that shift?
Well, I think, you know, it comes with its own challenges, but I think just an open mind, and you know, to work with people who are like-minded. Yeah. And you know, I've found that people in automotive are very much open to some, you know, some fresh ideas, perhaps from outside the industry. And I know that my previous experience outside of automotive has helped shape the way we do things in automotive in the future. So it's I think it's a blend of experience, and for me, like I said, once you're in, you're hooked. And you know, even if you wanted to get out, I don't know if you'd be able to.
Well, that's good. But I guess, you know, continuing on the theme of it, constantly evolving, some of the evolution in automotive is from within, isn't it? It's what companies like Autotech do, and manufacturers do, obviously. Some of it is from outside sources, so what the government kind of ideas and schemes may be. So how does Autotech kind of navigate what it needs to deliver with all these different pressures coming in?
I think for me, you know, it's easy. You have to listen to your clients, and you have to listen to the various trade bodies and what sort of work together, you know, we always, you know, when I'm speaking to clients, it's all about where's your pain at the moment? Mm. How can we support you through that? Be it with a solution that's led by technology. Mm. Is it using, you know, human capital and supporting you with some technicians while you do your recruitment? Mm. Is it a problem with warranty and helping us solve that very quickly, you know, working alongside you? So I think it's about listening to your clients and having a consultative approach to whatever the issue is, whatever's causing the pain, so you can concentrate on the day-to-day and let us take up some of that strain.
So with that said then, how do you see Autotech developing in the future? I know it's a bit difficult to sometimes crystal ball gaze, especially in the current climate, political climate, where there's lots of people saying lots of different things. But over the next sort of 5 to 10 years, where do you imagine the business going?
Well, I think first and foremost, electric vehicles have come a long way in the last 10 years. And what was once thought as of something that featured in garages of the future is now commonplace on roads, not just in the UK, but all over the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, not only are, you know, more consumers embracing EV, but manufacturers are continuing to push the boundaries of technology by adding autonomous and digital capabilities into vehicles. Hmm. Perhaps over the next decade, we're sure to see an even greater adoption rate and new and exciting features, you know, appear.
Yeah.
And as our great industry continues to advance, the Autotech Group will continue to disrupt, break down barriers and create solutions, you know, which meets the challenges of the aftermarket, that, you know, that they face as a consequence of this head on.
Mm.
If that means, you know, adding another division to our portfolio, then we will. If we need to acquire, you know, businesses, if that's the right fit for the Autotech Group to support our clients as well.
Yeah.
We're happy to invest in that, but you know, it's about getting that right balance and listening. Continue to communicate. You know, it's what we were doing 5-10 years ago. It isn't exactly the same as we're doing today, and it won't be the same in 5 to 10 years either. So it's just about being open to those changes and adopting change.
Yeah, and I guess from your perspective, then it's a balance, isn't it, from being a growing company, a successful company, but also kind of trying to keep some agility so you can always change to what the needs are, isn't it?
Having a very agile approach to business is key in just making sure that, you know, if you need to change course, that you can do it. Making sure that you plan it properly, you communicate that change properly, and then if you haven't got it quite right, then you can easily just start to make the next change that you need to offer the right sort of service for the clients and the consumers.
Yeah, so underneath Autotech Group, there's Autotech Training, Recruit and Academy, and then the fourth arm, which is on the horizon, which is Connect. So how will Connect fit into the group then, I guess?
Yeah, so Autotech Connect being our latest division, launched earlier this year. We're aiming to deliver a technology-driven solution for the automotive aftermarket, delivered in a language that's suitable for the sector. And it's there to help, in a bid to help them navigate the challenges. This will enable workers who haven't yet considered a career in the automotive sector to learn new skills and work professionally and efficiently by embracing technology.
Hmm. So I'm going to ask a very basic question then, and hopefully it's not so it's too basic. But Autotech Connect then, is its focus is different to the other sectors slightly, so either parts of Autotech Group. So Training and Recruit and Academy sort of have very definite, even through their titles, have very definite aims. Autotech Connect, if someone reads that, how would they interpret what the business's purpose is?
So in terms of the purpose of Auto-Tech Connect, there's many strands to it. One of them is ensuring that the automotive industry is prepared, especially the aftermarket, to enable them to repair vehicles, to have the right systems in place that will support equipment and tooling to repair these vehicles. And a lot of garages rely on just a basic, Wi-Fi network, and that's just not going to cut it in the future. So there's an element of us giving consultative approach to the systems and the support networks that the garages need in the future, as well giving them opportunities to help with the skills gap. For example, we could support a garage who necessarily hasn't got all of the experience required to fix a modern vehicle by having somebody sat at a desk anywhere in the world and being connected to them, and to help them use their experience and a process flow to repair that vehicle, and for the technician who's doing the repair to, it's like guided learning at the same time, that then, you can impart that knowledge, and that perhaps next time, if they have the confidence to do that repair, and the basic skills to do it and qualifications required, then you can talk them through it. And these people at the end of a connected experience can support, more than one job at one time. So you start to, fix the skills gap by letting that individual or individuals impart their experience and knowledge. The customer doesn't have to wait for us for as long for diagnosis and repair. So there's plenty of work going on in sort of bundling that up and working with different clients already to see how that works for them, on top of using the technology to be more efficient in the workshop.
And part of that, correct me if I'm wrong, is to use new approaches as well. So, like headsets, for example, can be used and worn to help with the processes.
Exactly. The headset, I think, is an absolute game changer. And to be able to connect people, anywhere, be it from manufacturer to dealership, or be it from a technical expert to an independent, to be able to have that resource at the end of a line, as it were, and to be able to bring the problem to life visually, is just going to absolutely change the way that we start to fix things for the consumers.
And hopefully, I guess an offshoot of that would also be to show or become an example of how automotive is an industry that is at the cutting edge, that is always evolving and taking new approaches on board.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, for people who haven't considered automotive as a place to work, or for a young person coming into the industry and seeing very bright, very well prepared, maintained workshops with other colleagues wearing the headset and using technology, then it's a bit like sort of gamification. This is what they potentially do at home in their spare time, and actually doing it at work, well, that actually ticks a lot of boxes for me, because this is what I want to do. And it enables them to gain experience and have the skills through technology.
Okay, so well, it's exciting times, I guess, basically. Although I'm not really aware of a time when automotive hasn't been exciting. But I guess, as one final question, if you were talking to someone about the automotive sector, maybe someone who is thinking, shall I go into automotive or shall I go in a different direction? How would you sell automotive to them?
For me, if you like change, and you like fast pace and energy, and to meet people with real passion, and to have the opportunity in terms of a career to go anywhere you want, from the shop floor to the boardroom to each corner of the world, then just give it a try.
As always, time is against us, but thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again on the next podcast.